Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzewski, and today you are listening to the best of the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And as always, the crowd goes wild with joy at the beginning of The Mark Gunger Show, the show that discusses all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the brilliant Mark Gunger.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
It's about as clear as I am. Joining us, as always, the lovely and darling Diane Brierley.
You're a very bad man.
I don't know about that, but and back with us, having a break from baby duty.
That's right.
Doo-doo-duty, we were saying the other day. You were on doo-doo-duty.
I wish it would have been doo-doo-duty.
He's on doo-doo-duty. The amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Yes. Not sure about that, but engineering as always. In the background, Timothy Ray pushing buttons, twisting knobs. This is the show that discusses all things concerning marriage. You can send us your marital questions, dilemmas, frustrations, curiosities to radio@markgunger.com, and we answer those or attempt to answer them. We certainly opine about them. Whether or not we're correct remains to be seen. But this is show is about what I think.
That's all that matters,
and that's
right?
That's all that matters. Correct. Lady Brierley, how are you today?
I'm good. I have to tell you, we went to see True Grit last night.
Oh, what'd you think?
It is a fabulous movie.
Is it not great?
I loved it.
Now, do you remember the original one?
No, I never saw it.
Oh, okay.
I never saw it, but it's on Netflix, so I'm going to see the original now, but I loved it. The Coen brothers are genius. I mean, the whole movie, like you said, the dialogue.
Was the dialogue not amazing?
It was outstanding.
Oh,
it was so good. The way they shot it, the costuming, the makeup, I mean, everything. It was a brilliant movie. There were a couple of times I was squirming. I couldn't look. I mean, it was, I was like, I don't know, but it was so good.
It was awesome. I
just loved it. It's one that I might buy.
Are they also the ones who did Matrix and stuff like that? Or
I'm not really
sure. Is that them?
Didn't the Coen brothers do Blood Simple? And did you see that one?
No, I didn't see
that. In Raising Arizona. They've done some really weird movies. And I'm thinking they may have done Fargo. Check, Ross. I think the Coen brothers did Fargo. So they haven't done...
No, Coen brothers have done a million things, haven't they?
Yeah, but I don't think anything big commercially...
Like, this is a show about movies. What do we know? We don't know nothing. All I know is this movie was great.
It was. You have to go see it.
And the dialogue was brilliant.
And that girl that played...
Wasn't she amazing?
She was phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I was... You don't hear me rail or go in a positive way about movies, but this one, I was totally blown away. So if you enjoy good movies,
it's
just
very
great
good
plots and fabulous dialogue and... Especially period movies, you know.
It was so good.
So you probably should have watched John Wayne's first.
Well, I was trying, but Netflix has a very
long
wait.
You're going to probably go back to the old one and just be totally disinterested in their version.
Yeah, I can't. You know, this one was so good. I mean, I saw the first one. It's just been so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the dialogue being anywhere near as brilliant.
No.
Well, I can't imagine.
This was so fine and hilarious.
So. I mean, there were some lines that were hilarious.
But don't you agree that if you don't catch the language, you don't get it?
No, because there were certain things that they were saying that I was a little behind on going, I don't know what they just said. But the bulk of it, I mean, by far, I got most of it.
It was great.
It was really, I enjoyed it so much. It was fabulous.
You were right, by the way. Fargo. Oh, Brother, We're Out Thou.
There you are. See, they do
Blood
weird
Simple
moves. See?
Brother, We're Out Thou. That's a great movie, too. Very
Lady
strange.
Lady Killers.
Lady Killers, that's right.
Oh, talk about the language again. Lady Killers. Did you ever see that?
Yes. No. Very weird movie. Very weird.
But again, if you like language.
Yes.
Which I do. I mean, It was amazing.
So that's like a staple of theirs.
They do some really odd, just not your run-of-the-mill, and especially the dialogue in these movies. And I got to hand it to these actors, because to pick that up, and you know what I'm saying? Because you talk normal all the time, and them to pick that up and do so well. Jeff Bridges was great. The only thing was, is I just watched Crazy Heart. He was a little too much the same as he was in Crazy Heart, as he was in True Grit.
Maybe he's just crazy.
But, you know, he still plays that drunken, stumbling, bumbling very well. I have to hand it to him. It was really good.
And don't go watch The Big Lebowski, because he's a wreck in that one as well.
Yeah, he plays the part
well. I hated that
movie.
I bet you did.
That
was horrible. The Big Lebowski.
I didn't see it.
They should all be shot, the people that did that movie. Good grief.
Like the perfect stoner movie.
Oh, so stupid. Oh, man. Anyway, I'm sorry. All these people are listening to the show trying to know about relationships. We're talking about movies. But it's what we do on the show, is we go on rabbit trails all the time.
Anyhow,
so anyway,
here's the important news
for
the day.
Our pick of the year so far is
True Grit.
Go check it out.
And I was so wishing you were in the theater, because there were four of us, my husband and me and another couple. That was it. So when I wanted to laugh, you know
Point?
Me, Rapids. We were in Wisconsin Rapids. Oh my gosh, I was laughing so loud, but inside I'm trying to keep it in, because I'm not like you. I'm not going to laugh out loud in an empty theater.
I do.
Gosh, I wish Mark was here, because then I could laugh
out loud.
That's
the best time to do it.
I was belly laughing
the
whole movie.
I was laughing and laughing, but trying not to.
There were a bunch of guys there, because it's kind of a guy movie. Here you got me on a rabbit trail again. But there were a bunch of guys, you know, because they're not like, I'm not sure how many of them understood what was being said. But it was hilarious. It was great.
Anyway,
really.
Go see it. It was fabulous. I thought it was great.
I hope this doesn't ruin it for anybody. But just one of my favorite things is when they're riding the horse through the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he just starts rambling,
mm-hmm.
and it's hilarious. And it's like he doesn't shut up. He reminds me of my brother Jim out there, who when he starts talking never shuts up. It's hilarious.
I don't want to hear this. You're going to ruin it for me.
No, it's so good. Seriously,
Ross over here plugging his ears when I start describing. I mean, it's a little tiny thing there. So that,
I buy a few movies, but this one I will buy when it comes out.
Yeah,
because
me too.
It was so good. It was very
agreed.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Back
anyway,
to why people are actually listening to this stupid program.
From True Grit
about relationships
to the news. This article says men are getting access to sex earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my glasses aren't in the right place. My bifocals. I'm sorry. I'm like looking through the wrong part of the lens.
Come on, Grandma.
Relationship power. I'm going to be a grandma pretty soon. Then you
can
call me that.
I know.
Relationship power is moving in men's favor. Instead of U.S. men competing for women, women say they must compete for men. Sociologists at the University of Texas in Austin describe the price of sex as the cost of romance, status, stability, and commitment that men exchange for access to sex in a relationship. The researchers say despite women's success in getting an education and careers, contemporary relationships are becoming more male-centered than ever, with men gaining access to sex earlier and more often, yet providing fewer and later commitments than one generation ago. There have been many changes in romantic and sexual behavior over the past 30 years. One is that the price of sex among unmarried Americans has dipped to an all-time low. The study's authors...
Explain that. What do you mean?
What is the price?
They don't have to do anything.
Right?
There's no commitment.
No
they don't have to do
anything. Right.
These chicks are just giving it out. It doesn't cost the guy nothing.
They put out. They don't have to know your name.
And they do it.
And the girls give it up.
Yep. Men's economic and educational successes have stalled, creating an environment in which fewer educated and financially stable men are selecting mates from a larger pool of educated and financially stable women. It's creating an imbalance that tips relationship power in the direction of the man. What has not changed is that men generally display few emotional consequences for sex, while women, again, like you say, are the losers, have a harder time dealing with the no-strings-attached sex. The strings are often what makes sex satisfying. The study's authors say in their book, Premarital Sex in America, How Young Americans Meet, Mate, and Think About Marriage. I might send for that book.
Yeah, check it out. Okay, there's so many things about this.
Oh, I know. It's a short article, but there's a lot in
here. Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact, you know, we've talked about this. The corrupting of the male culture is, it has been women that is helping to corrupt the male culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because women are putting out. And you get a guy who is offered sex for little to nothing,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard for a guy to say no to that.
They're getting it for free.
They get it for absolutely
nothing.
But yet what women don't understand is that men do things to get things,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the reason they do little to nothing for you girls is because
they
you give them whatever they want for nothing.
Sure.
They don't have to. Nothing's required of them.
See, what they don't... What the number one thing a man is interested in a relationship is sex.
Okay, everybody just fell over and had a heart attack when you said that. All these women. You know that. They hate that you say it.
I know it, but get over it.
Yeah,
that's the number one thing they're interested in. Isn't sex.
It's not the only thing.
It's not the only thing, but it is the number one thing. Seriously, ladies, do you think if it weren't for sex that we'd go through all the trouble?
Mm.
What do these women think?
I'm telling you, you're raising blood pressures out there because they don't like it when you say this.
Do you like it?
I get it now. I mean, I totally get it. A while ago, I probably would have been insulted by it.
If it's about friendship, it's a lot less complicated to be friends with a guy.
Yep.
If it's about hanging together... It's a lot less complicated to hang with a guy.
This is true.
If it's about living together, it's a lot less complicated just to live with another guy.
The only thing
Quite frankly, we have a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I know you think this is horrible with other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the thing that draws our attention to women is the potential for sexual fulfillment. Okay?
It's the one thing you're willing to pay a price for.
Yeah, exactly. But they're giving it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So guys don't give anything to women, and they don't compete with the women. And these women now, so all the power now is falling to the pigs who don't want to give anything. And these women are so desperate, they just keep dropping the price.
Sure.
Because
they think, if I don't give it to him, he's going to go find somebody else who will. And so...
Yeah, but what they don't understand, one of the most attractive things in the world of men is from a woman is the word no.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
It's the girls who are harder to win over that gets the men's attention. They want to win... The girl. So if you know the number one thing that a man is interested in is sex, why would you give him the number one thing he's interested in with no commitment from him? Why would you do that?
Because they think that's how they're going
backwards.
To keep him.
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
The thinking is backwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever hired someone like to do...
Build my deck.
Okay, build your deck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you pay them in advance completely?
No.
Why not?
Because they'd have the money and who knows if they're going to show up and finish my deck.
So you're a smart girl.
Yes.
But don't you trust him?
Yeah, I do. I trust that he's going to come up and show up and get the rest of his money because I'm only paying part of it up front. I'm not going to give it to him.
That's the thing, though. You don't give somebody everything in advance. You go and you hire some people to mow your lawn or do anything, and you give them all the money in advance. Watch what happens.
Yeah.
You don't get what you paid for.
I know. Come on, you girls out there. Think this through. If you give them everything they want in advance...
And they do. Many
you, you
of
won't,
them. I'm telling you,
know,
you they
I order
think that's
stuff
what's going
to
keep it.
Max, I'll give 50% down.
Yeah.
I had to
like if you order from Amazon or something like that. You have to pay up front.
No, that's different. Yeah. But you can always go to the credit card company and cancel the thing and stuff. And we're not talking gigantic purchases here. But I'm talking of anything of substance where someone has to come and do something.
Especially, construction,
you don't pay
stuff like
them.
That.
Construction. You don't pay them in advance.
Nope.
I did a few times as a young man.
And you learned.
It's amazing how
the
you
quality.
Can't get them to finish the job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's projects in this house that I paid guys in advance for because they were really hurting financially and stuff.
And they're not
Went to the church.
Yep.
And I thought, you know what? Let me help you out. And they say, you know, man, could you pay? You're going to do the job great. And they still haven't finished it. I just gave up. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just against human nature. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet women routinely. Pay way in advance when they haven't gotten anything. Women, we talked about this the other day, yesterday, I think, where women are going on these dates and they're screwing these guys by the third, fourth, fifth date, which to me equals slut. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're just, and we're talking Christian women.
Oh, I know.
Because they're no longer virgins. They think, you know, well, my vagina's not in a certain state. I guess it doesn't matter anymore. I actually said this in church last night.
Oh, you did?
I did. I said, morality is a condition of your heart. It's not a condition of your vagina.
Nice.
For heaven's sakes. Just because you're not a virgin anymore, quit screwing all these guys.
It matters. They don't think it matters, but it matters.
No ring, no I do. You don't get nothing, Jack.
Somehow or another, they think that's how they're going to get them and keep them, and they are sadly mistaken.
And how's that worked out for them?
It hasn't.
And then these women keep saying, how come we keep attracting all these bad men?
Yep.
I married this one guy. He was a psycho crazy guy. I married another guy. He was so selfish. I married another guy. He was so selfish. Ask him. Were you having sex with these guys? They all say, yeah. That's why. You attract pigs.
Yep.
You attract guys who love to take and not give anything back.
Right.
Because the pigs are going to be the ones that are wanting to climb down your pants the first or second week they know you.
Good. And a lot of girls now are doing this. Women, because they're actually competing, that it's the women who are doing this.
Yeah.
And freaking out the guys. I had one guy in my church.
I
don't know if he went to my church, but he emailed me. He says, you know, I dated a girl from your church. I talked about this
on
the pulpit.
I remember the story.
I dated a girl from your church, and we were in the at a drive-in, and halfway through, I went to get some popcorn. I came back. She was completely naked in the car.
Wow.
Hello. Now,
this is on date number one.
I hope you had tinted glass.
No, I hope that's some seriously tinted glass. At least he had enough sense to say, stop. Put your clothes on. What are you doing?
Well, because he's not a pig.
Yes.
But if she did it in a car with a guy who's a pig, then he's going to go for it.
Who
he is.
Who gets naked during popcorn break on date number one?
I'm sorry, but plenty of people apparently. Apparently.
And you shouldn't be having sex at all before you're even married.
I know.
Good Lord. I'll be happy we can get some of these guys the last three dates.
I know.
That is insane. Three
and
dates.
And then you girls keep attracting these crap men, and you're miserable, and you're sad, and you're crying, and why won't he do this, and why? Because all you've done from day number one is give him everything he wants for absolutely nothing. And here's the thing. If you don't give it to him, some other dumb girl will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it corrupts the male culture. That's why we have so many badly behaving men.
Mm-hmm.
And the women all think it's the men's fault. And while it is their fault for doing what they're doing, the one who's empowering this are the women.
That's exactly right.
You get women to stop doing, you know, I write about this in my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, which all of you should buy 10 copies today, immediately, and give them out on your neighborhood block. But in the book, I talk about the Old West, how when end of the 1800s, men went out west, and they called it the Wild West. They were pigs.
Mm-hmm.
They were violent. They were disgusting. Mm-hmm. They went to whorehouses all the time. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 okay. Then by the early part of the 19th century, these guys had completely changed. They were fathers, husbands, contributing to their culture and their society, behaving themselves. And you know what historians contribute as the reason the men changed? It was because the women then moved out west. But they were different women than women of today.
Mm-hmm.
Those were women who came out and said, if you want this, you will behave yourself and you will act accordingly. And these guys stumbled over each other trying to clean up.
They did.
To compete for these women. And in fact, you see this played out. If you've ever seen any Westerns,
you always see it.
You see that scenario played out over and over again. These guys are pigs, and all of a sudden these gorgeous girls show up, and all of a sudden they're combing their hair, and they're slicked down, they got the shirt all buttoned up.
And,
you know, it's part of the, you know, but it's actually based in fact. It was the women of America. Women who knew who they were, who had self-respect, knew what their values were, moral women, who would not give men whatever they wanted. It was women that tamed the Wild West. It wasn't the men, it was the women. And historians freely admit this. But now go to today. We have the Wild West again. Only this time.
It's a role reversal.
The women are giving these guys anything they want. You know, if a guy can have... Stop and think about this. And again, I'll probably never do it because I keep talking about it. It's been years, and at some point you figure you just move on in life. But I've always wanted to do this book called Disappointment Makers, how women today are helping to create the very men they cannot stand. It starts with mothers who coddle these boys and give them everything they want. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, oh, he's upset, boo-hoo. And they literally go out of the way to protect the kid from the father.
From any consequence at all.
Any consequence. And if they get consequences from the father, they get in the way. And they'll kick the father out. And if they have consequences at school, they come and they rail on the teacher. And they get consequences on the sports team. They go and they just chew out the coach. They're just doing everything to protect the boy.
So he can do whatever he wants.
So he can do whatever he wants.
No price.
And then he starts dating girls who on date number two are spreading their legs and giving him everything he wants. Blowjobs. It doesn't matter.
And then
women later who will give him sex and take care of him and feed him and clothe him. With no commitment, what do you expect you're going to get?
Badly behaving
men. This is why we have a culture of corrupted men. Again, all the women cry and wail and point at the men as the problem when they don't realize they are the ones who have created the problem.
Yes, they
God help
have.
Us all. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more pontificating right after this break.
Listening to The Mark Gunger Show can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a repeat offender of marital and relational dilemmas in your home. Listen to The Mark Gunger Show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at www.markgungershow.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife. And today, we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want: resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/Mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/Mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
I have always been a little shy. I've always been the quiet type till now.
Sounds like me.
I
always been shy.
I never let my feelings show.
Yeah.
I never let anybody know just how much I was so deep in love, but now that you're in my arms, I'm gonna stand on the rooftop, climb up a mountaintop, baby, scream and shout. I'm gonna sing it on the radio, show it on the video, baby, leave no doubt.
We are speaking out loud today on the Mark Gunger Show. During the break, Ross was telling us about tell us
quite
about
the mortifying moment that I had speaking to our teenagers at about forgotten virtues, and I came on the topic of integrity, and I started talking about when integrity looks like when your behavior starts to match up with your actions, what you're saying, when you're that young man or that young woman that says something and you follow through with that and you're not just giving them, I said, you know what I mean when I say lip service, and they went, oh my gosh, and they started giggling, and I thought to myself, oh no.
What did I just say?
And I looked at our volunteers.
Well, lip service means
oral sex.
Oral sex to them.
No, I know, but I mean to people who don't know what it really means.
What it really
means. It
means
when you say something, but you don't really do it.
Yeah.
Just you're giving lip service.
Yeah, so I said that.
I really love you. I really care about you. I'll do this. Oh, God, I'll serve you.
Yeah.
But none of it, they never do anything. You're just giving lip service.
Would you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you and never do it.
And they never do it. So it's lip service. So you're talking about that, but as soon as you said lip service, the first thing they thought of was oral sex.
Yep.
And I looked at the
That's
volunteers.
The culture in which we live.
It is. It really
I got to tell you, so I'm 56 years of age, incredibly young and good looking.
Yes, you are.
But you know, I remember being a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, girls weren't doing that.
No.
I can't imagine what it would have done to me, what kind of man it would have turned me into, if at the snap of a finger, I could get almost any teenage girl to wrap her lips around my wiener.
I know.
Good grief. How does that not mess you up?
Yes, it has to.
It does.
Well, and again, we understand this among pagan culture, but we get Christian kids doing this. Christian high schools doing this. Mm-hmm.
It's not sex. That's
because
this
they think
whole
it's not
idea.
Sex. Yeah, thank you, Bill Clinton. You know?
Right.
Well, what's crazy is...
Depends on what the definition of is.
I read this article, and I can't remember where it was. I was thinking of this last night, that it used to be that oral sex was the ultimate. When you were married and you were really close, you would never, ever in a gajillion years think about doing that, because that was the be-all, end-all of being intimate with somebody. Now, I mean, that is the equivalent of a goodnight kiss, a handshake.
Handshake, sure.
I mean, and how it's gone so far the other way from years past in our culture, what it used to be. It's ridiculous.
I'm telling you, it's like that base system. Remember the first base, second base, third base? Man, that is completely out of... I mean, it's just...
First base
even apply
is oral
anymore.
Sex now. Yeah, there's no such thing as the base system.
Just complete desperation, too, for some of these women
but,
to be doing
yeah,
this.
And again, we're trying to reason with women. See, they don't get this stuff.
No. Right.
They don't realize they are creating the disasters they have in their very lives.
And there'll always be women who are willing to give it out to men. But what I really wish it would be, I mean, I know this really makes me a geezer and an old woman, but I wish that the only women who you could get it from without strings, you had to go to a prostitute. You had to go to a brothel. I mean, that's the way it used to be, is that, yes, there have always throughout history been those women, but they've been those women.
And you know what? I was reading in Ezekiel last night, teaching, in Ezekiel chapter 16 and chapter 23, he uses really fairly gross sexual imagery, which I preached last night.
Did you really?
Yes. Some old lady afterwards said to me, what was the point of all that?
Wow.
I said, it was in the Bible. She said, yeah, but why did we have to read it? You know what I mean? And so God is using the analogy of Israel being unfaithful, like a woman who wants to have sex with men and lusting after guys with big genitals. And I mean, he's using all this kind of analogy. And he says, and what's really disgusting about you guys is you're worse than a prostitute, because you do it for no money.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's what God said about Israel. Yet today... That's exactly what we have for at least
women.
Prostitutes. There's a degree of morality there.
You've got to stand.
Women out of desperation,
right.
They're giving up their bodies to get money or something. And then we have women today, at least a prostitute will ask for payment. We'll be back right after this.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there, because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I've been really trying.
If I get up, just do some slow dancing. Come on. Shadow dancing.
Oh, come on. I still have images of people doing some work.
Say what?
I have images of people getting up at their cubicle.
They are. People all over the world right now getting up and just grooving.
I hope there's no lighters.
If you're driving your car, keep your hands on the wheel. But you can swing. You can move. Just come on. Let's get it on. Ooh, ooh. Actually, don't get it on there. You'll crash. You're listening to the Mark Gunger program as we're trying to get it on the subject of marriage. You can send us your email questions, your relational dilemmas, your curiosities to radio@markgunger.com, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Here we go. First email. Society is accepting living together prior to marriage, but I consider this to be adultery. I have 3 grown children, and each are in this type of a relationship. My daughter is engaged, but has been living with this gentleman for 2 years. Our children know that we, my husband and I, do not accept this. Marriage should be the first step to a commitment, not living together. My brother is a pastor, and my sister-in-law is a pastor, and neither of them will marry my daughter. I agree with them full-heartedly, but my daughter just can't believe it. Our children's response has always been, well, everybody does it. My response has always been, if you can find a verse in the Bible with God accepting living together and sex prior to marriage, then I will accept it. My husband does not say anything but that we do not agree with their actions. I feel I need to make a stance, but also am afraid of losing the good relationship I have with them now. Just wondering, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts vary wildly. You know, what were you teaching your kids when they were younger? You know, were you getting this into them? Children tend to lock into the values that are presented to them. Not always, but overwhelmingly. Mm-hmm. The people who do this are the ones who talk about sex and dating and stuff the least. Also, were you one of these parents who gave your kids this impression that they have to wait for marriage? See, I'm a big advocate of young marriage. Mm-hmm. And at a minimum, saying to your kids, hey, look, if you fall in love, you got our permission to get married. We'll have a great wedding. We'll support you. Then they don't have to think in terms of sleeping with people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I don't know what this parent did. I have no idea. There's no way of... Well, I have to email back and forth a dozen times to find out. But I mean, the very problem that – see, this is my problem with the church community. We tell our young people, don't have sex, but don't get married. Too young, but don't have sex. But wait till you get married, but don't have sex. Yeah, how's that working for us?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're having sex anyway. The guys are into porn and masturbating. The girls are sleeping with their boyfriends. They're living with each other. And then we go, oh, gee, I don't know. What's wrong? Maybe we need better programs for our young people. It's like, hello? We're fighting against our very own interest.
I have a question for you. Do you think that some parents, I'm not saying this is her, but possibly, they think one thing, like she thinks that it's not okay. She and her husband probably have talked about it. That's their value, but they just haven't communicated it. They think because they think this, that somehow their kids will know this?
Well, no, I think they probably communicate it because they say it once or twice.
Oh, and so they think that they have taught them.
Yeah. But I mean, you have to go over this again and again and again and again. And when they're little... Mm-hmm. And you parents out there with kids that are 8, 9, 10 years old, now's when you should start talking about them when they turn 16. Here's the thing. Kids turn teenagers, and then they start going crazy with the hormones and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then parents try to address it.
Right.
Sure.
Address it before you get there. You know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sakes.
Well, and they're willing to listen to you. By the time they hit 14, 15, 16, they think you're the dumbest thing that walks. They don't want to listen to you anymore a lot of times.
Here's the problem. You know, society isn't waiting until they're 14, 15, or 16 to send them a message. They're getting this in elementary school. And it's going, you know, it's getting younger and younger. So why not be proactive?
Yep.
You know, I believe this actually in our personal prayer life. I think the most powerful prayers are the prayers that are prayed before you need the prayers answered.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
I know what you're saying.
Let me give you an example. And I never said this to Ross or I haven't said this to anybody. But you know me. Let me tell the whole world now. But when our daughter Leslie was pregnant the first time, you know, I didn't pray all that much about it. I mean, I was glad and stuff. I didn't really think that much about it, you know. And then when she's in the emergency room, she's in the delivery room, and she starts having problems and there's difficulties. And then I found myself kind of in a panic trying to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt... Again, I haven't said this to anybody. I felt so ashamed. I haven't even said this to my wife. I felt so ashamed because I know better.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You mean, Marky, you didn't know? I mean, one of the most dangerous things any woman can ever face is
childbirth.
Yeah.
I wasn't praying ahead of time for this. I was, you know, and how do you get to a place of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, well, thank God for his mercy and grace. Should and I had to do proactive. A C-section and everything else, you know, and everybody's, and I just, so I just felt very ashamed. So when I heard now that she was pregnant again, mm-hmm. I started fasting and praying mm-hmm. 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And praying and fasting and praying. And every week trying to, you know, not major fast, you know, a meal or two, right. you know, but just every week and praying and really, and just getting, so that when all of a sudden she goes into labor, man, it's a whole different yeah. attitude yeah. of faith this
time. Well, and
time.
She was early, and Maya was small, and yeah. you yeah. were probably in a whole other place
whole
this time.
A whole different place. I wasn't panic praying. I had been praying, and Lord, remember my prayers. Mm-hmm. And just mm-hmm. and everything went fine, and she was mm-hmm. able to have a normal birth. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, the difference for that for me mm-hmm. was dramatic. I think a lot of people, they wait until panic time
yeah. sure.
to start praying. They don't look yeah. in advance. You yeah. know things are coming.
Yeah, I pray you know for it. My daughter like that. She has no boyfriend. She'll be 16 next month, and she has no boyfriend. She's not done that. But I pray all the time for her because I don't want to be in a panic when she first comes home and there's the interest. And then I have to start going, keep her pure, keep her heart right, you know, do this. I have been praying all along
we
for her.
We did the same thing with our kids, teenagers, mm-hmm. you know, praying ahead, praying ahead.
And I learned
ahead,
it from you.
Ahead. Yeah, and just instead of waiting until, what are you waiting for? You know this thing's coming. Mm-hmm. Right. Prepare for it. Drill this in your own prayer life, but also talk to them. Mm-hmm. Train them. Talk to your preteen. Say, you know, in a couple of years, because right now they like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They look at you at 10, 11, and you're kind of cool still, mm-hmm. Dad. And you look at them and say, you know, in a couple of years, you're going to think I'm a complete idiot. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to even like me. No, Dad, you know what? No, listen to me.
I'll sort of always love you, Mom. And we've had those conversations.
It's kind of like you're going to deny me three times,
yeah.
you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah,
I
yeah.
will not.
And explain to them why this is going to happen. And yep. so that when it starts happening, you say to them,
yeah.
do you remember when I told you that, yeah,
yep.
you kind of think I'm stupid? Yeah.
yeah.
Remember I told you?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? It changes everything. Absolutely. Talk to them about life. Talk to them about dating challenges and the temptation when you fall in love with someone. You're wanting to get mm-hmm. physical with them. And if you feel that urge and you really love somebody, just get married. We will support
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But most Christian parents, and of course, it sounds like I'm beating up on her, but I'm just assuming that's what she did. You right. know, they kind of talk about it, didn't really talk about it. Dad didn't really say anything.
Or talked about it
values.
By the time that she moved in with this guy. Then yeah, started really
yeah.
talking about it.
I mean, now
it.
You're starting to reason about it, yeah. you know? Did they know that, did they have permission from you to mm-hmm. get married right away?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I would have been really against that. Well, why do you think they're living together?
Yeah.
You know? Now, at the end of the day, let's say she did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And she does this, then yeah, there are consequences.
Mm-hmm.
There are consequences.
Well, what sure. about the relatives being pastors that refuse
and
to marry
them? And I agree
them?
With that. Those are the consequences.
That is mm-hmm. great.
Sadly, the consequences are coming from extended family, not from mm-hmm. her immediate family.
Mm-hmm. Well, she says she's afraid of taking a stand because she'll lose the good relationship she has with them now.
And
that's
kind of
a bad thing
what,
that parents
what
do.
Kind of, what kind of a good relationship is it that you have, yeah. Mom?
Exactly.
You have a daughter who's screwing a guy freely
yeah.
with no
yeah.
commitment, doing something which, by the way, most statisticians tell you will increase mm-hmm. their likelihood of divorce mm-hmm. dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's another issue, parents wanting to be friends.
Yep.
You know, today, rather than being that parent that yep. is willing to.
I promise you, my daughter moves in yep. with Mickey Fool over here and mm-hmm. boinking his little brains
yeah.
out.
Mickey Fool.
Yeah.
No way, no way. No. I'm telling you, I'm just me. I wouldn't hardly talk to her.
And it might cause
well, that's
a
terrible thing, Pastor Mark.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, there's a price to pay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
We do not do this. Mm-hmm. This is against our values. But you know that they shouldn't have to do it first and then find out.
Right.
Right.
See, that's where she's upside down
yeah.
right now. Now, if all of a sudden she goes a cold on her daughter,
yep.
her daughter won't understand
yes.
it because mom never really made it clear ahead of time.
Yeah. yeah.
You let these kids know ahead of time. Look, there's certain lines that you cross. It's going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
How many of these parents are waiting for the church to instill these types of values, whether it be youth group or through the, you know, the pastors?
Tons of them.
I think they
know?
Assume
and they
that it's
avoid
happening.
It themselves.
Right.
And like you said, they become reactionary all of a sudden.
But here's the problem with that, mom and dad. They need to hear this over and over and
yeah.
over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Because you said it once, it isn't good enough.
Here's the problem. Even as a pastor, I have taught, you've heard me teach
oh,
these
yeah.
things. I'll bet you $100 that most of the people in our church do not know what I believe about this.
Oh, I'm sure they don't. You
Especially
say it
all the
time.
Ones.
Well, even some of the old ones. I know because I know I sit there and I see people that you
but,
talk
but
about
I've
this.
But I've preached it 3, 4, 5 times over
right.
5, 6, 7 years. It's nothing.
I know.
You have to say something. And I was just talking to Deb about this last night. I thought, you know, February's coming up. Everybody's hot.
The love month.
The love month. Mm-hmm. I need to go through and I need to teach this whole thing all over again.
Yep. Yep.
I feel like I've said it
too many times.
When in reality, you've got to say things. They say even to preachers, man, you got to preach something 5, 6, 7 times before anybody hears
20% of it's retained.
Well, and
it's amazing how many times I'll preach something that I almost feel guilty about. I'll tell you, oh, man, I preached this before. I feel terrible. But I feel like I preach. And people come up to me who've been here forever.
Yeah.
Who will say to me,
that was really good.
Was the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Before.
Yeah. Because they didn't hear it before.
I preached this 12 times. And they look at me and said, really?
Yeah.
So that's why the church can't do it. We can address these things. Yeah. We can support these things. But for us to get it into your kid, we'd have to talk about it every single Sunday.
And you can't do that.
Over the next year. And then
and maybe they'd hear it.
And then you'd stop. And then the new kids come and none of them have it. I mean, we come at it occasionally. Mm-hmm. We teach various things throughout the Christian calendar through the year. We teach various things, you know, and it. To really get all the truths of Christianity in a church setting, man, you can go 3, 4, 5 years before you start hearing stuff again.
Right.
Well, that's not enough.
No.
We can come in. God can use us to speak into their lives and to support what the family says. But if the family isn't, so any parent who's thinking, you know, I'll let the church do this, it's a bad plan.
It's not going to happen. And on the other side of that, they get the message probably 55 times a day watching TV of the opposite side, that you live together, that you sleep on the sleep with them on the first or second date. I mean, they get that message over and over and
over again. A great point there. It wouldn't surprise me, and I'm just picking on this mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know you, dear. Don't get depressed and cry and I'll freak out. Okay, I don't know who you are. I'm just assuming. If not you, I guarantee there's 100,000 of them just like what I'm about to describe. Christian moms. Mm-hmm. Who have their values in their own little head. They don't really say it much, okay? And, gee, we don't want you screwing your boyfriends, all this. But these very same moms will let their kids watch movies like Titanic.
Sure.
Now,
including their brains.
I promise you, you take 1,000 Christians, 900 of them, 950 of them, would let their kids, teenage girls, watch Titanic, wouldn't think twice about it.
But what message do they think they're learning?
What do you think? Have you seen the movie?
Right.
It's a great movie. I enjoy the movie, but I'm an adult.
Right.
But what it is this girl meets this nice boy, DiCaprio, and what's her name?
Kate Winslet
with her big boobies and
boobies. What? You didn't remember her name, but she had big boobies.
There's something.
That's just what got.
There's some things a man just never forgets.
Guess how many boobs I saw today.
So here she is, and she's dating this boy for, was it even a day?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like she just met him.
She just met him
on the boat.
And he's drawing pictures, so she whips out her
boobies.
And he's drawing pictures of her boobies, and you know, by the way, what do you think this is doing to your teenage boys seeing this?
Right.
Uh-huh. See, moms, they don't get it.
Nope.
Because a woman looks at it, they're just boobs. She's got a pair. It doesn't make a big difference. So she sees her boobs. To a teenage boy,
that's
like, oh my goodness.
Boobies.
Forget teenage boy. To a 55-year-old man, I look at that and I go,
boobies.
You know, I'm not hearing any dialogue anymore. I'm just thinking the whole time. Yeah. All right.
So you don't know if the dialogue was good at
all. I had no idea because all I saw were boobies.
See, no boobies in True Grit. That's why you
That's
pay
why
attention.
There were no boobs. I could hear the dialogue. So then what? She falls in love with him in a day.
Yes. Because that's how it happens, you know.
Oh, of course. And then she's screwing his brains out.
In the car.
In the back of the little car. And all of this is done with romance, sparkles, fabulous music, huge production values.
Yep.
And these girls see this over and over and over and over and over again. Yep. You moms, dumb as a brick, let your little girls and your little boys see this over. What value do you think? Yep. They've seen this movie with huge production values.
Absolutely.
10 times. Now, this is just one movie. I bet you there's hundreds of them that watch just like this.
And on TV and on all of the...
And the parents aren't paying attention.
Sure.
Okay? And then you come along and say, now they've heard this, let's say, 50 times. That's probably on the low number.
Oh,
50 times.
Easy low.
But really well done. Production values, music, you know. Even Batman, good Lord. You know, Bruce Wayne, he screws, what's her name?
Vicky Vale.
What, the first time they're together?
Yes.
I mean, it's like at least they didn't show it.
Right.
You know, I mean, other things are pretty graphic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so this message is, let's say 50 times done at a professional
Right.
Professional level, great lighting, perfect scenarios, everything turns out great. The music, the emotion, 50 times a crap message. Now you sit down and you talk with your kid three times.
Exactly.
Who do you think wins?
That's easy. Not
who do
you.
Think, who do you think wins? Moms? Wins, yeah. Win moms, dads? Come on.
It's not you.
You've talked. I did. I sat down and had that talk with my boy.
You were probably scared out of your mind.
Okay, too. So you had the one talk, one time. And then you let him see the opposite message 50, 100, 150, yeah. 500 times in your house,
mm-hmm.
in his bedroom,
well,
in
I'm
your
sure
living
it's thousands
room.
Thousands of times by the time a kid starts watching TV and starts seeing it.
In Marshfield, Christian youth groups would get together and watch movies, and I'd come in and I would just have a fit
about what they were watching.
I'm yelling at the parents, what are you
mm-hmm.
doing?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the parents were, oh, what you have you seen
do
this
you
movie?
You know what your kids mm-hmm. are seeing.
Whatever movie it was.
Yeah.
Do you see how sexual this is? Oh, well, I didn't think it was a big deal. And then they wonder why their girls get pregnant. They wonder why their boys are moving in with their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me that the reason this mom is having this result is she did the very thing that we're talking about. Oh, we talked to our kids. Yeah, probably two, three times. You probably let them see a thousand other versions
the
of the wrong thing
TV
to do.
Talk to your kids,
you know what they should do? They should get sex, dating, and relating and sit down and watch it with their kids.
You know,
some of them aren't really prepared to even handle what it is that society's, you know, dishing out.
Well, I'm not saying you
kids.
Need to sit down and talk to your kids, but it's part of parenting.
I don't think
we
they
would
think
never
about
let
it.
Our right. kids watch anything unless we've seen it first.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, after we did, then we said we'd watch it with them, and then we hit the fast forward.
Yeah,
I was over a few times we needed that.
Over the sexy, with it, and they knew this routine. We're not going to let you watch. Yep. We're not going to let a message, because these are, some of them are great movies.
Yep,
I'd watch Titanic, and let them watch that, and fast forward it. You know,
because other
parts
of it are good.
I'm not going to sit there and let that get a message into my daughter's head that if a boy really likes you, you can let him see your boobs. I mean, you've known him for 8 hours, for heaven's sakes. It's just my boobs. And so we're really in love. We've known each other for a day and a half. Mom, come on.
The one movie that really bugs me, and I may have talked about this before, is August Rush.
Oh, yeah.
And so many people, that Christian people that I know very well, oh, it's such a great movie. I love it. You have to see it. So I sit down and watch it. And my kids had already seen it. They had already seen it at their dad's house. And I sat down in the very beginning. What is this nice girl, straight-laced little cello player, violin player, whatever she was, goes to this party, and the first thing she does is go up on the rooftop, and it's so romantic, and has sex with the bad band boy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was mortified. I just sat there in the room with my kids. I said, I can't believe they just showed that. And then they're making the whole movie so romanticized that this nice girl went up on the rooftop and with the guy, with the band. I mean, I was so irritated that so many people, good Christian people, told me, oh, you have to see this. You have to see it. It's so great.
But they don't,
really?
They're not even aware. I'm telling you, they are so jaded.
No, they don't get it.
And they're doing
it.
Such a poor job of watching. Now, I get it. As an adult, I can see it. It doesn't have an effect on me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're talking teenage kids who are getting their new values.
Yes.
Their hormones are going crazy. At a minimum, mm-hmm. you talk to them afterwards and say, now, did you see what happened there?
Oh, I stopped it right there. I'm like, wait a minute.
we don't do this. Let me show you why this is a bad choice. But most parents, they just throw these things. They are clueless.
Yep.
Forget the parents of pastors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know the one pastor,
moronic
dude.
Pastor here in town. Let his daughter see these movies 100 times. But then when Harry Potter came out, he had a fit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Satan worship. Oh, it's you witchcraft. Idiot, for heaven's sakes. Mm-hmm. You let your kids see. Let me ask you a question, folks. All you people out there who freak out about things like Harry Potter, but you don't do anything about sexually images. How dumb are you? What do you think is a greater temptation? Let's talk about this. What are the chances that your neighborhood boy next door is going to hop on a broom and fly around the neighborhood?
Pretty small.
Say it could happen. Let's say it could happen.
It's
possible. Guys flying around on brooms, okay. You know, this is turned into Satan worship, okay. What are the chances of that happening? Then let me ask you this question. What are the chances of the next door neighbor boy is going to come over and play with your daughter's boobies?
Pretty good.
What do you think the chances are of that?
Pretty good.
High. Don't you think?
Almost 100%.
Wouldn't you say it's pretty, pretty high?
Yeah.
So let me ask you. You're going to have a fit about flying around on a broomstick, straining at a gnat, swallowing a camel, mm-hmm. Jesus said. But this stuff was sexual stuff. You don't know. Well, it's no big deal. Well, no, they know better.
It is a big deal.
And then when your daughters move in with their boyfriends, Christians, doing all the mess that we're in, and the parents all wonder what happened. We are so messed up.
I'm telling you.
It's just hard not to do the show and get depressed. I need to take a break because I'm depressed. We'll be back with more right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us, and we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of French fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy. You've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org. 1 hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
About your work, how your boss is a jerk. We talk about your church and your head when it hurts. We talk about the troubles you've been having with your brother, about your daddy and your mother and your crazy ex-lover. We talk about your friends and the places that you've been. We talk about your skin and the dimples on your chin, the polish on your toes and a run in your hose, and God knows we're gonna talk about your clothes. You know talking about you makes me smile. But every once in a while, I want to talk about me, want to talk about I.
You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show, where we talk about me because I love me. You can send us your emotional and relational dilemmas to radio@markgunger.com. We'll talk about that. We've been talking about trying to get values into your children. You know, it's a never – I'm not saying you have to hide in a basement.
No.
And shield yourself off from the world. But at a minimum, talk about these. A lot of these things are great teaching moments.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah.
But parents are disconnected. They don't want. And here's my main thing. I think the reason. Oh, I was looking for this for days.
Oh, your little earphones?
My little earphones. All of a sudden, I look down there right in front of me. Sorry, folks. I get distracted very easily.
Yes, you
do. I have the attention span of a fly. Okay, but I mean, these are great teaching moments. Okay, but so here's a film. I was at Liberty University talking like 6,000-8,000 mm-hmm. young people about values and who we are and stuff like that. I said, you have to understand, we've been corrupted by our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how many of you girls love the movie Sleepless in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just raised their hand. They just love this movie.
Sure.
Okay, and everybody just loves yep. this movie. Stop and think of the values of this movie. The girl is a lying tramp.
Yep.
She's a pig of a woman.
Yep.
Here's a woman who, and you should have heard the gasps when I said that.
Because they don't even think of it.
It sucked. They were shocked. They were mad. Some of them were mad at me. I said, come on, she's a lying tramp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meg Ryan is engaged
to
this
guy.
Right.
Pledged to be married to him, already screwing him.
Yep.
Sharing his bed, made promises to the family, all this stuff. And at the same time, she's listening to the radio and trying to find Tom Hanks. That makes you a lying mm-hmm. tramp.
Sure does.
And all of this just keeps going in. The garbage keeps going in. What one we watched a couple weeks ago that I have never seen. I get behind the eight ball on some of this. But The Wedding Planner, Jennifer Lopez McConaughey. Yep. This movie, and I know lots of people loved it, but he is a dog. I have to say this for my daughter. He's a dog. That's what I kept calling him. She's like, Mom, you don't say that. I said, yes, he's a dog. Here he is engaged to this woman. Jennifer Lopez is the wedding planner who's planning their wedding. So he doesn't know she's the wedding planner. She doesn't know that he's the groom, and he goes out and tries to pick her up. Well, when they come face to face in the process of planning this wedding, now all of a sudden he's like, oh, it's you. It's you. And lo and behold, you know how it ends up? She ends up with him. He is a lying dog. He's a piece of crap. And she chases him down and wants to be with him. And this is the whole romantic ending.
Yeah.
What are you doing chasing after this guy?
So your daughters watch this over and over. You don't say anything to her, Mom. That was a great opportunity to talk about that. The good movie. Look, they're good movies, aren't you? Say,
it was funny. There was parts of it that were good.
Now let's talk about this. What do you think was really wrong? What do you mean? Well, do you know he was committed to this other girl? And he'd already been happy, which you shouldn't do.
Right.
And then he's cheating on her. Says, you see how this is wrong? You open their eyes. I'm telling you, these are great teaching moments.
Yes,
I'm not saying you have to hide in the basement and, you know, say you can never watch movies, although someone would be a lot better off if they never did. But if you don't want to go that route, at a minimum, be a parent. Mm-hmm.
But
be
I think
responsible.
That's the issue. They don't want to be, I mean, it's not that they don't want to be the parent. They are expecting everybody else to be doing this for them. Schools,
or I don't think that
pastors,
they realize the impact that this has. I mean, because I was a child of the 80s, you know, Valley Girl and 16 Candles and all these movies.
Oh, sure.
I watch them now being mid to pushing late 40s, and I am shocked and stunned. It's like, no wonder I had the value system that I had, because this is what I was fed, a steady diet of, plus not having parents who told me anything different. No wonder I did what I did, because this is what I saw all the time.
Yeah, so check this mom who emails us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you they let their daughters see this stuff, watch this stuff, hear this stuff, watch MTV, all this stuff, pouring into them. And I'm telling you, they're getting the bad message, and they're getting it much better than you give the good message.
That's right.
Because when you give
and
the good message,
absolutely,
you're not doing it with great lighting and good-looking people and romantic stories and beautiful music scores and all this other kind of stuff. And you said maybe, what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times maybe, and I'll bet you most of them say it once.
Sure.
If that. Maybe 3 times in passing over a year. And then you wonder why they go and do what they do.
Which message
and the parents
is screaming
sit around and go,
louder?
Why didn't they do our values? What did we do wrong, Pastor? We were Christians. We believed in Jesus. We did. But people, you have to understand, who's going to win? You got 2 messages from you and 150 messages from the wrong side. Who do you think's going to win? We need to be smarter. All right. Be smart. Tune in again tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.